Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody here. Glad to have you with us. I want to ask you to open up God's Word this morning. We are focusing, of course, our series is Christmas Isn't Hallmark. And if you're familiar with Hallmark movies, they're about 120 minutes long. Starts out great, kind of goes south, and then winds up back on top again. I mean, every single time. So, we pretty well know how they're going to end. And even though there's trouble in there, it always gets worked out. Would that life was that way, right? But it isn't. And so that's what this series has really all been about, that Christmas isn't Hallmark. And the reality is that for many of us who are listening today in all three of our services and have been, if you notice the title of the message, God habitually and at certain times when he's predetermined, God messes up our plans. And so there's something that we need to know. We need to understand, what do I do? What do you and I do when God does that? We're looking at Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 21. So just a little departure from the Christmas verses, but they get the point across that I want us to walk away with today, all right? And so it says, many are the plans in the mind of a man or woman, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And that is just the thing that God wants us to know and to embrace in our walk with him. The New Living Translation puts it this way: you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. What God wants to do is to raise up inside you and me this morning just a fresh stirring that above everything else, what you and I would want as we leave here and as we get into this week of Christmas and celebrating and being with our families, it's a time that we're going to be with our loved ones, we're going to be with those that we care about. But the reality is life is going to be going on. Life's going to be going on in Catherine and my life, in the life of our children, in the life of our church family. We've got church family that's they're in the hospital with this COVID deal. We've got families that are under stress. We've got every situation you can imagine is being experienced in our church family. And so when we get to this time of Christmas and everything, God says, this is what I want you to think about. And I think this is why he's put this on my heart. He said, I want you to understand that there are many plans that you come up with in your life. And there's nothing wrong with that. But he said, I want you to understand this. It is my purpose, eternal purpose, for your life and in the life of those around you. And in my plan for this world and for how everything is going to end, it is my plan that will trump everything. God just wants us to understand that. And so if I want you to look at the core statement. The core statement in your life point outline, if you haven't already gotten it out, it's in the chair in front of you. 2020 is God's school lesson that when things go wrong and your life plans get changed, don't give up what? Look up. Don't give up. Look up. That's what God is wanting to say to us. And today is really about two things. What do I do? What do you do when things just go wrong? You thought about it, you prayed about it, you talked to other people about it, and you do it and it just goes sideways. What do you do when things go wrong? And then what do you do when you just know that you know that you know God changed your plans? God did it. There's nothing wrong with it, what you were doing or whatever, but God just interrupted. See, I can't blame my father. You can't blame God. You tell this to people that you work with, whatever. You can't blame God for all the problems in the world. And that is because there's a lot of stuff happening in our world that is not God's will. It's people's will. It's our will. But sometimes, just like we see in the Christmas story with Mary and Joseph, and this is what God was saying. He said, there are times when I will intervene and I will change things in your life. And what I'm saying to you is, I am going to do something special in your life. I want to do something special. I want to show you my glory. I want to use you in a special way. And so in order to do that, God says, I'm going to change your plans. And that's what's happened in 2020. God has changed a lot of plans. God will change plans in 2021. Because God wants to do something special in your life and in my life and in the life of your family. And so one of the things that I notice in Scripture is God uses a phrase over and over and over again, and it's the phrase, four words, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes, all right? That is a key phrase that you find in Scripture, and it is hugely important for you and me. And what it means is this. Here's what God is saying. God is saying, John, as you go through life, there are going to be times, I won't have to remind you, but I want you to understand, there are going to be times when I just want you to look up. I want you to look up to me. I want you to get your eyes off of yourself. I want you to get your eyes off of your problems. I want you to get your eyes off the circumstances of your days, and I want you to put your eyes on me. I want you to look at me. And so here's what I want you to see today. Here is your takeaway. This is what I want you to take away home with you today, all right? And it's this. Things will start looking up when you and I look up. Things will start looking up in your life of difficulty and challenge when you and I look up. So I want you to look at number one in your life point outline. When God messes up our plans, the Bible says, don't give up, look up. Don't give up, look up. All right, this is what God is saying to us. All right, now look at this first truth. Your outlook on life and mine will change when our focus is on God's promises and not on our problems. Not on the problems, but on His promises. There are four guys in the Old Testament that are huge in the whole story of God. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, Isaiah. Every one of these guys were going through difficult times as they were chasing after God. Life was difficult for them. And that's encouraging for me because I don't know about you, but 2020 has been a challenge for me. Can you say amen for that? That's been a challenge, all right? And so things were going difficult in their life. But in each one of their lives, God told them, look up. That's what He told them. He told Abraham in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14, He said, Abraham, look up, look out, and see this land that I am going to give you. Now, why is that important? Because in everything that Abraham was going to go through, all the challenges of his life, all the difficulties, the thing that kept him going was the promise of God in his life. Just like God has promised you, that He says, I've got a plan for you. I have you here for a purpose. You're not a biological event. You're not just the circumstance or the outcome of the lovemaking of your mom and your dad. You are a plan. You're not just a biological event. You are here because I want you here. Every child born into this world is born because God willed it so. Can you say amen to that? We are here for a purpose. For a reason. And so the Lord said, Abraham, when you're going through difficulties in life, I want you to understand that I want you to look up to me. Lift up your eyes and see all that I'm going to bless you with. He said, I'm going to bless you and be encouraged by that. He told Jacob in Genesis 31, verse 12, He said, you're going through a difficult time with your father-in-law. His father-in-law was a jewel. And so he stole from Jacob again and again. And he told Jacob, he said, look up here to me. He said, and watch how I'm going to bless you. Even though your father-in-law is doing you wrong, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to bless you. And he said, look up here to me. And then he told Moses, when Moses was having such a difficult time and the children of Israel were just sinning time after time after time, didn't look like they were ever going to get there. And he told Moses, he said, lift up your eyes and see the land that I'm giving you, even though this land opposes me, even though these people are sinful like they are, I am going to get your people into the promised land. I want you to look to me and be encouraged. And then he told Isaiah in Isaiah 40 verse 26, He said, look up to the heavens and see the power of God that is working in behalf of Israel to bless and protect. Even though there are nations that want to destroy Israel and they want to wipe them off the face of the map, he said, I am going to take care of my people. He said, look up here to me. Stop looking at your enemies. Look up here at me. I have made you a promise. I will take care of you. I want you to look up here to me. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. These are the promises of God in the past to his kids, to his people. And what God is saying is, regardless of what life threw at them, God says, I'm going to be working to bless you and to not curse you. Let me say that again. Regardless of what is happening in your life, God says, I'm going to be working to bless you and not curse you. And I want you to know, if you are a child of the Father, if you belong to him through Jesus Christ, that is God's promise to you and me, even in these days of this COVID disease. Can you say amen to that? Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. If you are a child of God through faith in Jesus Christ, regardless of the days that you and I find ourselves in, regardless of whatever is coming in 2021, God says, you understand this, I have never stopped and I never will stop working in your behalf to take care of you and to fulfill the plans that I've had for you from the very beginning, ever since you came into my family. Does that make sense? All right. God says, I don't want you to forget that. He said, you are not the world. You're my family. And I take care of my family. I am a father to you. There's an old rhyme that goes like this. Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. Now I want to ask you, as you're looking at these days that we're in, do you see mud or do you see stars? What do you see? What is it that's gripping your mind? Because it is what you focus on that determines how you look. One prisoner looked down and saw the mud in despair. The other prisoner looked up and saw hope. So look at the question in your outline. How have you consistently looked at this year of challenge and change? Have you looked at it with despair and fear or confidence and assurance of God's watch care? I've done everything I can to try to get you and to encourage you and to lead you that we don't live by fear. We don't walk in fear. We walk in confidence. We don't risk. We don't tempt God to take care of us and to protect us when we act like a fool. That's why we've talked about wearing our mask. We've done all that. Why? Not because I'm listening to anybody in Washington or on the left or whatever. I don't do that for anybody else. I do that for me because I want my Father's blessing on my life. And my Father says, don't tempt me. You do what you can do, but you trust me to take care of you in every other way. And about 700 years before that first Christmas, Isaiah the prophet announced that God is going to send his son to earth. And he said, I want you to know, my son is going to be gentle and he's going to be powerful. And that's the thing I need to know in these COVID days. I want you to listen to Isaiah 40, verse 9 through 11. He says, shout to Jerusalem from the mountaintops. Shout louder. Don't be afraid. Tell the cities of Judah, your God is coming. See, that's what he wants us to hear. My God is here. He's coming. Yes, the Lord God is coming with mighty power. He will rule with awesome strength. See, his reward is with him to each as he has done. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. That's how he takes care of us. He will carry the lambs in his arms and gently lead the ewes with young. So that the pictures, all that pictures Christ's gentle nature as our mighty God. He takes care of us. He's like a bigger brother that's watching over us. And then Isaiah turns to the power of God. Listen to what he says. Who else has held the oceans in his hands and measured off the heavens with his ruler? Who else knows the weight of all the earth and weighs the mountains and the hills? Who can advise the Spirit of the Lord or be his teacher or give him counsel? Has he ever needed anyone's advice? Has God ever needed or asked anyone's advice? Did he need instruction as to what is right and best? No, for all the peoples of the world are nothing in comparison with God. They're but a drop in the bucket. They're dust on the scales. He picks up the islands as though they had no weight at all. It is God who sits above the circle of the earth. Isn't that a fantastic passage? You ever heard people say, you know, the Bible is so anti-science? You know what that is? That's a dumb remark. It's just dumb. It shows ignorance on the part of Scripture. 700 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah the prophet, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, said, the earth, guys, is round. God sits on the what of the earth? The circle of the earth. The Bible is not a science book, but the Bible gets science right every time.
Amen.
All right? It's not a science book. Doesn't prepare to be. But it gets science right every time. And 700 years before anybody knew anything, the Bible says God sits on the circle of the earth. And then Isaiah applies the coming of the birth of Christ to our lives. Listen to what he says in Isaiah 40, verse 26. Look up to the heavens. Who created all these stars? As a shepherd leads his sheep, calling each by its name and counts them to see that none are lost or strayed, so God does with the stars and the planets. And meaning what? That God watches over you and me, right? He never loses us. O Jacob, O Israel, how can you say that the Lord doesn't see your troubles and isn't being fair? Isn't that a great reminder in these days? There's never a time that God doesn't know what's going on in my life. There's never a time God doesn't know what's going on in Lufkin. There's never a time God doesn't know how you and I may have disease that's getting close to us. There's never a time God doesn't know exactly where we are. He says, don't you yet understand, don't you know by now that the everlasting God, the creator of the furthest parts of the earth, never grows faint or weary. No one can fathom the depths of his understanding. He gives power to the tired and worn out. Amen. And strength to the weak. Even the youth shall be exhausted, and the young men will all give up. In other words, what God is saying is there are going to be days of stress and weakness and overwhelming challenge. I think that qualifies for this day. And he says, yet there is a promise for everyone who follows the Lord, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Ladies and gentlemen, the things that you and I have been going through these last several months, I don't know that that the United States of America has gone through anything like this probably since 1918, when the influenza broke out and so many people died. This has been absolutely life-altering for our entire nation and for the world. And here's what I've noticed. People today around you and around me, now watch this, they battle fear and anxiety and grief and confusion. I saw even yesterday, England is canceling Christmas. Can you do that? I don't think you can do that. But they're going to try because that COVID has mutated. And now it seems like people are dying faster with it and getting sicker faster with it. That's a new thing that is happening. All right, now listen, because this is where God wants us to understand. Here's the insight. No matter what you and I face as a church family, God reminds us again. He says, look up, don't give up. I want you to understand something. As a child of God, for you and I who belong to the Lord, our hope isn't in a vaccine.
That's right.
Huh? My hope is not in a vaccine. It is in the Lord who protects me.
Amen.
It is in God who watches over me. Now listen to me. I want you to understand this. I, as a child of God, I do not scorn science's ability. I welcome it. I welcome its ability. I welcome its skill. I am glad that there's, you know, they've got a vaccine that is coming out. But here's the thing you and I as God's kids must never do. We don't bow at the shrine of science. We don't bow there. We bow at the foot of our Lord God. He is our comforter. He is the one we look to. And that is what our fathers want to know. So how do I do that? You look at God's word. That first Christmas, Mary and Joseph's lives didn't turn out the way they planned. Mary and Joseph, all they wanted to do, they're just like, we just want to get married. We want to settle down. We want to have kids. We want to do life together in Nazareth of Galilee. But God had other plans. And God messed up those plans with the virgin birth. But here's what I want you to know. Not everything that happens in my life is because God caused it. And I just want to say that. Let me take a little aside here. Look at the truth in your outline. Not everything that happens in this world is God's will, but He permits it, and even if He doesn't cause it. And here's what God is saying. Even when stuff is happening in this world that is not my will, He said, if you will look up to me, if you will look to me, I will take care of you. Here's the deal. A lot of the problems that happen in our lives and in this world, we bring on ourselves. You can't throw everything at the feet of God. We make decisions a lot of times without thinking. We do things even after we think about it, and we still make mistakes in judgment. And sometimes other people bring trouble into my life and into your life. Look at the inside. We live on a broken planet and among broken people, and we all sin, and that means we all hurt each other. And there's some of you this morning that have been hurt. And you thought, why did God allow that to happen? God says, I want you to understand, I don't do everything. There's some things that happen in this world, I had nothing to do with it, and I don't like it. There's a lot of stuff happens on our planet every day that is not God's will. Rape isn't God's will. Molestation, physical and emotional abuse, that is not the will of God. Cancer, Alzheimer's, those aren't God's will. That's part of the fall. That happens because of sin. And our bodies are broken. Prejudice against the races, that's not God's will. And let me just say this, divorce isn't God's plan. Do you understand? Divorce is not His plan. God hates, and let me just say this for this, ever since Texas adopted it, God hates no-fault divorce. That is a sin in the eyes of the Lord. God has stated in His Word that the only cause for divorce that God will endorse is unfaithfulness by either one of the partners. Otherwise, for a spouse to leave their husband or wife of their youth and go to another, if there has been no unfaithfulness, it is adultery in the eyes of the Lord. And the one they go to, they cause them to commit adultery because they're not even supposed to be married in the eyes of God. And so their marriage actually becomes a sin that needs to be repented of. And that's just the truth of Scripture. But our text says, Proverbs 19:21, you can make many plans, but the Lord's purpose will prevail. So what God is saying is this. He said, listen, He said, you can make all the plans you want to make, but He says, I want you to know that my plan will trump your plans all the time. What do you call that trump? It's called the law of sowing and reaping. The law of sowing and reaping. Genesis, or Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. God simply says, whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. I never get away with sin. There's always a consequence when I disobey the Father. So what do you do? What do you do when God changes your plans? I want to finish the message with that. Number two, when God changes our life plans, God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to get our attention. Here's the insight. God whispers to you and me in our pleasure, but He shouts to us in our pain. When I'm going through a difficult time, when you're going through a difficult time, at no other time in our lives, we're open to hear from God. We're open to hear Him speak to us. Pain is God's megaphone. And for many people across America and the world, right now the volume is ramped up pretty high. Would you agree with that? Amen. A lot of people are listening. A lot of people are wondering, what in the world is going on? And here's what you understand. There's so many people going out into eternity. For some people, it's a judgment from the Lord. God's judgment is in it. And that's why some people are dying. It's a judgment from God. For other people, it is a means for particularly some of God's people. It is the way that God designed for them to come home. Their last day was up. We're all going to die, right? God has determined the number of our days from before we were born. When I came into this world, I only had so many heartbeats, and my heart's going to beat no more. These lungs are only going to have so many breaths, and then I'm going to breathe no more. I don't know how I'm going to die, but there is something that's going to take me out of this world. Something is going to cause my body to quit. And for some people, the COVID disease was God's tool to bring them home. And many people came home just at the time that God had designed for them. We're all going to die of something. But for many people, the COVID-19 is a wake-up call. It is a disease that is to cause people to stop. It is designed by God to make them stop and to listen. Pain, ladies and gentlemen, many times is God saying, "Hello, is anybody home? You're acting like I'm not here. You're acting like you can do anything in the world you want to do. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? Are you just too busy to listen to the one who formed you in your mother's womb?" What God wanted to do in Mary and Joseph's life was so over the top that he had to send an angel to kind of let Mary know what in the world was going on. But God's given us the scripture. And here's what God says in the Word. You can have many plans during your life on earth, but God's ultimate purpose will prevail. God's purpose will prevail. Here's the truth. You and I are all poor listeners. Our life walk with God is learning to listen better. God said, "I want you to learn to listen to me." We generate noise all the time. What is if one of the first things maybe you do when you get into your car, turn on music or whatever? You got to have something going. We want noise all the time, whether it's radio, TV, internet, iPods. We stay so busy. God sometimes has to ramp up the volume just to get in and to get our attention. And one of the things God uses to get our attention is trouble. Psalm 81, verse 13. "I wish my people would listen to me." Why? Because every one of us are here for a reason. And I've said again and again, I am not just a biological event. I am not just the lovemaking of my mom and my dad. I am here for a purpose. God willed me to be a man. He willed many of you to be a woman. That was his plan. And he said, "You are here for a reason. And I will work all through your life to get your attention because I want you to live out the reason you are here. I want you to live why I created you. I want you to be ready when your time comes to die and come and meet me." And that's why Proverbs 16:25, "There is a path before every person that seems right, but it ends in death." You know, one of the things, a lot of my decisions from time to time throughout my life have seemed so right at the front end. And then they wound up being so wrong at the other one. And I was like, why did I not see that? Did you ever hit a dead end in your life? Huh? Everyone was just like, bam. And you're like, this is not supposed to happen. I think all of us have done that. We've all made decisions that we thought that we felt were right. And we've said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to marry this person. I'm going to leave this marriage. I'm going to seek this relationship. I'm going to do this deal. I'm going to start this business. And what seemed so right was wrong, and it ended so badly. Why? Because we really weren't listening to him. There are going to be people in these three services, someone today, and they're on the verge of making a decision, and God is saying, "I put this on my son's heart because I want you to stop and I want you to listen to me. And I want you to not be focused on making the decision. I want you to be focused on listening. And I want you to be still." God already knows how 2021 is going to end. And God told us in his word that there are things we need to do in this life. And he said there are things you don't need to do. Look at the next truth. Our biggest mistakes happen when God says no and we say, "Go, I'm going to do it. This is what I'm going to do." All the no's are scripture. You know why God says no? God is saying, "I don't want you to get burned. I don't want you to have a broken heart. I don't want you, that body that I gave you, I don't want it to be cut short. I've given you more time, but if you go this route, you will not survive all the days I planned for you. I don't want your marriage to end in divorce. That's not my will. I don't want to have to discipline you if you break your marriage vows to me and your spouse. What God is simply saying in 2021, there's a lot of pain and grief ahead if we don't listen to Scripture. God is trying to get our attention. And the third thing I want you to notice in your outline, when God changes your plans, it also means He's got a better one. That He's got a better one. Jeremiah 29:11, I know what I'm planning for you, says the Lord. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you, and I will give you hope and a good future. You know, 2021 is going to happen in a couple of weeks. It's coming. And none of us know exactly what's going to happen. And God says, I've got good plans for you. And if you belong to me, He said, I'm not going to force my plans on you. But I give you the choice to obey me or to turn away. But if you don't get to choose the consequences of your decision, that's what the Lord wants me to remember. You and I can keep going with our plan and get into all the problems and the difficulties and the stress and all the things that happen when you and I go our own way. But just remember, God says, I've got a better plan and I want to do good to you. It is true, God had a plan for Mary and Joseph. God says, I want to bless the world through you. But it wasn't an easy plan at all. Mary and Joseph faced 9 months of criticism and gossip in their hometown. Why? Because to everybody, it looked like they couldn't wait. And they got pregnant at a time when they shouldn't have. And so they carried that shame. They did not carry out the goals of the betrothal period. But of course, Mary and Joseph had kept their vows of purity. The baby was a miraculous birth, yet God's plan for their lives required them to bear reproach from people who didn't understand. But God said, this is what I want you to do. And on top of all that, the day before she delivers, she has to take a trip to Bethlehem on the back of a donkey, for crying out loud. That had to be painful, at least uncomfortable, to be 9 months pregnant and then have to travel all that distance. She delivered her first child without aid from a midwife. There was no woman present. What did Mary have? She had a man present who was not a doctor, a guy who had never delivered a baby. And then she had cows and chickens and donkeys, and she was in a stable instead of in a house. Not a woman here wants to sign up for that. Hello. So the plan was difficult, but it was a plan of promise. And I want you to know, Mary had a lot more challenging times seeking to carry out God's will. And even though God doesn't say it, Mary was a human being just like you and me. And I'll tell you what that means. That means that just like you and me who want to do God's will, there were times when Mary would have prayed to the Father and said, God, I don't understand. I don't understand why I have to keep going through this. I just wish that this could be enough. When is it going to be enough? I just need to catch my breath. And so here's the truth. When you seek to obey God's will as you understand it, in every circumstance, there will be times when you're overwhelmed and peace won't come until you determine to trust God. For a lot of people in this world, COVID-19 is Russian roulette. They never know when it's going to hit. For you and me as a child of God, this period in our lives is an exercise in trust. Will you trust me? Will you trust me? John 13:7, Jesus said, what I'm doing now, you don't understand, but you will understand later. Trust Him. So number four, and lastly, God is saying, I want you to learn to trust me. I think if there's anything, when Mary said yes to God's will to bring Christ into the world, Mary and those who loved her, those who walked with her, like Joseph and the others, there's things that they had on. I'll give them to you. Let me give them to you right quickly. They're in your life point outline. Number one, they had to learn to trust God day by day. They just trust Him. And that's what we're having to do in this whole deal. Here's the truth. Many times when we walk with God, all we'll be able to do to make it is to trust Him. Even when it doesn't make sense or it hurts so bad, you just trust Him. I'm trusting the Lord. That's the answer. That's what we do. We trust Him. Why? Because He's always proven Himself to be faithful. He always has. Number two, we trust God by seeking Him above everything that we seek. Bible says there's only one way for me to please the Father. And if you don't hear anything else, I want you to listen to this. There's only one way to please Him. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You see, if I want to please the Father, what God is saying, John, if you want to please me, then I want you to seek me, and it is impossible to seek me and to find me except by faith, that you believe me, you believe my promises, and you are trusting me. The Bible says if we come to God by faith, that pleases Him. So what do you and I do when life around us seems to be falling apart? Life is just crazy. Listen, what is God wanting in these days? He says, I want you to seek me. I want you to seek me. And let me tell you what that doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that you and I are seeking a solution. The world is after a solution. I understand that. But God says, I want you to seek me. And seeking God means you don't seek for relief. You don't seek for a way to get away from it. God says, I want you to seek me, and I want you to seek to understand, what am I doing in your life in these days? When you and I focus, the only thing we focus on is just getting out of this. I just want to get past COVID. I want to get on to something else. You're missing everything. We're missing everything that God has for us in these days. God says, I want you to seek me. And you realize, number three, you realize these days are a test. As a follower of God, what I'm going through, what you're going through, this is a test. And what is it? Will you trust God in this situation, do what He wants you to do, or are you going to rely on your ingenuity? Are you going to focus on I just want to get out of this. There are three warning signs, and this is in your invitation. There are three warning signs that you and I are not trusting God. Number one, this is in your notes. Number one is fatigue. You're just worn out. I'm worn out by the stress of the days. Number two is frustration. And number three is fear. And what God is saying is, I want you to seek me. I'm doing the work in these days. God is getting us ready for what's coming. This is part of our growth. This is part of our development. And so in these days, we have changed our schedule. As I said before, we're not doing some things. Why? Simply because the Lord hasn't commanded us to do it. But we want to focus on this. We want to focus on gathering together on the Lord today. Why? Because this is what we're supposed to do. This is our work. And so we come together. We meet. We do everything we can to make this work. Why? This is our Father's will. And you see, that's the test. The test in the days of COVID, the test in the days when death is out there for so many people, the test in these days is, will you do what I've told you to do? And will you trust me? Will you not live by fear, but live by faith? Don't tempt me to guard you when you act foolish, but walk with me and rely upon me and know as you come in and you go out, I will take care of you. Is that not a gift? Is that not a gift? Huh? Yes. Let's stand. I wish all of you a very Merry Christmas with your families as you get together. Be careful. Watch over. Don't tempt the Lord. But don't quit living. Give praise to Him. And thank Him for watching over and keeping us. Celebrate the Lord's birth with your family. Focus on what's really important at Christmas. I'm going to be doing a Christmas video I'm recording it tomorrow. It'll be played, be available on Christmas Eve on Facebook and on YouTube. And so it's not going to be everything that we've been accustomed to, but it'll be an offering from me, and I hope it'll bless your heart. All right? So remember, we give your tithes and your offerings as you're leaving today. Thank you for being so faithful in doing that. Those of you who are guests, please drop your cards by the Next Step desk and get a gift from us. We're so glad to have had you here. Father God, we thank you for today. Thank you for your word that just comforts us and gives us direction and understanding. God, you're a God who changes our plans from time to time because you've got a better plan. These are days that are days of judgment on some. These are days that are the tool for you bringing some of us home. And we die, some of your children die during these days because it's their time. For every child of God who seeks to do your will and follow you, we don't die out of our time. We die at our appointed time. That's our comfort. And then for other men and women, these are days to wake us up. And so, Father, we pray that we'll bear a strong witness for you in this city, that we'll remember these are days to be sharing our faith, talking to people about the Lord, sharing the truth about eternity with those that we have opportunity. God, that we don't forget the whole purpose and the message of Christmas in this season. So thank you. May your blessing be on us as we come in and go out. We love you, Father, and we pray that our offering today will bring you honor and that your blessing will fall upon us as we come and go. And we thank you in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.